一起。
So where we left off is in Acts chapter 11, that when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them." So Peter began to explain everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and I came down to where, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Mm-hmm. And thus ends the reading. May God bless us.
Thank you, Sue. As you know, we continue on in the book of Acts. It's taking us a long time to get through it, but it doesn't matter to me. It's a wonderful book, and there's a lot of good things to be learned from this book. You know, there are times since the first of the year when we started Acts that, and by the way, those of you who are with us, if you want to listen to some of the sermons earlier, you can go on Facebook. They're all on there as we have been going through the book of Acts to kind of get you jump in the midway and you miss some stuff. But sometimes I've not gone with the book of Acts because maybe it didn't fit the theme of the day. Like, for instance, Memorial Day, we did something else. And Mother's Day, the next text in Acts didn't seem to fit with Mother's Day. So I thought, okay, I'll do a Mother's Day thing, jump back on. Well, I thought I can squeeze Daddy into Acts this morning in the text that we are talking about. And so we're honoring God in the book of Acts, and we're also honoring our fathers and our Heavenly Father in particular as we do that. God does equip us for any task that we need to do. I could say probably the same thing with an earthly parent. If a dad told his 12-year-old son to go get groceries at the grocery store and gave him neither money nor a grocery list, what do you expect the 12-year-old to do? The dad or the mom would equip the child with a list and some money, or a credit card, whatever it is it takes to purchase something. Or go mow the lawn and not give them a lawnmower. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But yet sometimes that's the way you and I treat God when it comes to, is God going to provide when he gives me a task to do? Would God tell us to do something without equipping us to do it? And I believe the unequivocal answer to that is no. God will equip us. And I believe in the story, the ongoing story here of Peter and Cornelius, and now including the rest of the early church, which was almost entirely Jewish at this point in time. There's a kind of a quirk going on right now. There's kind of an argument or a misunderstanding or what in the world's going on right now that the church has to work through. And we'll read about that later in the book of Acts as well. But Peter, who is talking to Cornelius, who is one who loved God with his whole heart, he was a God follower but didn't know the whole story yet. He heard the story earlier in the book of Acts. Peter is telling Cornelius that following Jesus is the real deal. At verses 44 through 46 in this text, which followed what had happened with Peter at Cornelius' house, while Peter was still speaking about everything that God was doing and giving Cornelius an understanding and all those who gathered there of what was going on, the story was shared and accepted. Something amazing happened. Something utterly amazing happened. God gave those who were present there the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them, or in some versions say, fell on them who heard the message. A word used that could be similar would be the Holy Spirit filled them, or they were immersed by, or they were overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit that came upon them at this point in time. And the same gift that was given to the Jews, and earlier we read about the Samaritans, and now to the Gentiles, the gift was poured out on the Gentiles too. Now you read towards the end of the text this morning that we're reading, that first the early church, again, almost entirely Jewish, was like, no. This is reserved for us. We're the in group. This wasn't reserved for anyone else but us. But the gift was poured out on the Gentiles as well. And it was manifest in the speaking of tongues and of praising God. Interesting, as every new people group is introduced to Christ in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit filling was made manifest in the same way. You see, what was happening here in this chapter in the book of Acts was, I believe, what you'd call the Gentile Pentecost. This was the Gentile Pentecost. They got to experience in the exact same way what the Jews were experiencing in Jerusalem on Pentecost. Now, speaking in tongues was a sign, but a changed life directed by the Holy Spirit was the result. I want to get into something this morning, too, because we've got a variety of denominations in the church today. And in that variety of denominations, there's a lot of different understandings of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get too deeply into this this morning. And no matter what I say, I'm sure some people will say, well, I don't know if I fully agree with Pastor Dave or not. But in this text, because elsewhere throughout scriptures, speaking in tongues was a sign, but not the sign. I want to be clear on this. Speaking in tongues was a sign, but it wasn't the sign. So in other words, speaking in tongues was not required in order to experience the immersion, the feeling, the filling, the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. It was a sign. But what was the ultimate sign? The ultimate sign of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that has been transformed. A life that is under the full and complete control of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. That is the sign that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And they witnessed that in the people who were praising God in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's in verses 44, 45, and 46. And then we get to something else that's going on in 47 and 48. Recognizing what had happened to the Gentiles, Peter said, if they have had the same experience that we all had at Pentecost, then we've got to do something else here. Why don't we have them baptized? Water baptized them, because they've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They are identifying with Christ now. They need to identify with Christ in this public proclamation of baptism. They are going to die to the old nature and rise in the new nature. What the Holy Spirit is doing in me, that is Peter, is going to do in them. It's going to make them and me obedient to our Heavenly Daddy through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, let me just mention this real quick. I rarely do this because my role up here is not to impress you with any kind of knowledge or something outside of the English. I want to give it to you as simply as I possibly can. And I don't need to impress you with anything else. But baptism, the word baptism, a variant of baptism in the Greek is bapto, which means to dip in water or to die, not die, D-I-E, die, D-Y-E. It was a word used for those who were dipping something in the dye to change the color. Bapto. Now, baptizo didn't come to mean that. It was a variation that came off that, but that is to immerse or to overwhelm or to fill baptism. And so what is symbolized in baptism, both the baptism of the Spirit and baptism by water, is that overwhelming, that filling, that immersion in this thing of God. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, the only thing that matters to you is the things of God. Nothing else. The things of God only. Peter wanted them to be identified by water baptism as well, identifying with Christ, letting everybody know that I now am identifying as a believer in Jesus Christ through baptism. I am dying to the old self, that old sin nature, and I'm rising again to the new nature, which is Jesus Christ. It's as if I've had a resurrection. I am now new in Him. Now, in Acts chapter 11, the actual term that is used here, so we don't misunderstand who is talking about this, it says the circumcised believers, meaning those who practice either they were Jew by blood or they were a proselyte to Judaism, the circumcised believers said, hold on here. Hold on. What's going on here? These by blood believers, the establishment. You know, I've talked about that a few times over the last few weeks, haven't I, about the establishment. Because sometimes we can be called as the church, the establishment. The building with the people. We do things a certain way. You go to other churches, they do things a certain way. We have certain traditions in our church that we do here that you go to another church and they probably don't do there. Some of these traditions are deeply steeped in Scripture. Some of them may not be. But churches, the establishment, has a certain way of doing things. And sometimes a certain way of believing something. And these Jewish Christians had a problem with what was going on here. Because they thought that was theirs. This is mine. And now you're saying it might be someone else's? They had an issue with what happened. You see, before this, the Jews weren't supposed to be hanging around with the Gentiles, right? Can you imagine if you were an Orthodox Jew and all of a sudden I'm hanging around with Bill? Oh, right. Now I'm unclean. Bill, I got to go wash up so I can kind of continue on with my faith. You know, I'm just singling you out, Bill, because you're in the front seat. But the Jewish culture of that day was, if you associated with the Gentiles, you were unclean. You didn't go on into a Gentile home. Where was Peter? In a Gentile home. He broke all the norms. And in the church, sometimes we need to recognize what is something we do because it's the way you just do it, or what is it we are doing because that's what the Word of God says. We need to be doing what the Word of God says. And sometimes the traditions, we need to perhaps let them loose a little bit because we might find ourselves doing the same thing that they were doing. When you come in to the Mackinac City, to the Church of the Straits, you can't get too loud because the folks here are a little bit more casual. Okay, maybe a few of you can raise your hands a little bit. But don't get the whole church doing that because they might start dancing in the aisles and all that sort of thing. You see what's going on? You see, because we've got the establishment kind of does things a certain way. We act a certain way and we're a little fearful if we get outside of our comfort zone that it's like, I'm not so sure about that. That's exactly what was going on with them. If you were a Jew, this turned things upside down. For generations I was taught you don't go into the house of a Gentile. And now we're in the house of a Gentile. Peter kind of messed things up, but Peter shares with them in chapter 11, God's doing a new thing, folks. God's doing a new thing, folks. They had an issue with what happened. This is for us. Not all who believe. It's for us. Follow the rules and you'll be accepted. But the rules change. The evidence here should lead to a logical conclusion. When Peter shared with them that were gathered there what God did and the vision he had and what he told him, you had to wait for the rest of the story like Paul Harvey because I was wondering if you hadn't read it before, what's going to happen? Well, by the end of the text you read, they had no objections after that. They realized, and I believe it's because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he was entirely controlled by the Spirit of God, that what he shared with the people, they knew was the truth. And they didn't object anymore. The evidence should lead to a logical conclusion. Here is the testimony. It's a God thing. He brought us together, and he did the same work in him and them as he did in me and us. Because you see, I hope those who are listening to him, who are the circumcised believers, also had experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. That they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. You see, I think what God was trying to tell the church is, I'm here. I'm with you. I told you in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Counselor, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit of God that will be with you and will guide you and direct you and teach you all things that I have been taught, you will be taught as well. He gave us His Word so that we could be equipped to do the same thing. Our daddy equips us for that task. So, this text here was the call of the Gentiles. Before we had the call of the Jews, the call of the Samaritans, the call of the Gentiles. You see, at least the Samaritans were half right. They're half-bloods. The Gentiles, boy, we were in trouble. Thank you, God, that you loved us too. The call of the Gentiles, it means that God calls us. It means that God equips us. It means the filling of the Spirit is available to us. It means if Daddy calls you to do something, you have everything you need to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your Word. I pray this morning that perhaps in this text here, we've got a little bit of clarity. Because God, I want us to know that we need to be completely immersed, overwhelmed by the presence of your Spirit in our life. Now the Word of God says all who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, we receive the Holy Spirit, dwells within us as a guarantee ensuring our inheritance. But that the presence of the Holy Spirit is different than being fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. Help us, O God, in the Church of Jesus Christ today to realize that you want us to be full of your Spirit. And to be full of your Spirit, we need to empty ourselves of sin. We need to empty ourselves of self. And we need to fill ourselves entirely with the things of you, your Word, your word written for us, preserved for us, so we can know where it is you're going to lead us. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God, for Jesus. Thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, O God, that you've equipped us for everything. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.